The Charlotte Hornets win two games in a row. They win three of their last four. James Bouknight makes an appearance over the weekend. We have a lot to talk about today on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
We're Locked On Hornets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
In a minute, cuz we live. We live.
It's Locked On Hornets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day. Thanks for making us your first listen. We're free and available anywhere you get your pods, and that includes YouTube, where if you are watching, you can't see Doug right now. But before I get to him, I do need to tell you who this episode is brought to you by. It's brought to you by Prize Picks, and we appreciate Prize Picks for sponsoring the show. As always, pick 2 to 6 players. You can play against any of the projected numbers. Go download Prize Picks today. Big thanks to Prize Picks. So no Doug in the picture frame right now that you usually see right next to me, Walker Mail on WFNZ. I have to imagine he's looking for a certain piece of hardware. Doug, where are you? Can you make your appearance at any point?
Bum, 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 bum. The Big Dub Hat is back.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's the only time that you've worn it this year. The only one. You have not worn the Big Dub hat at
I just checked the tape because they won a game against the Saturday night game where the Jays were falling for PJ Washington and JT Thor and Jalen McDaniels. I feel like I wore it during that game or after that game.
Well, but there was one time where we might have talked about it, and then you went to it very late because we forgot it existed given the lack of Big Dubs. And then maybe you're like, oh, wait, yeah, I could have worn it. And then maybe you went to it late. So if it's not the first time, it might only be the second. Regardless, it's not like that is an overwhelming defense of how the Hornets have played. No, this is the second time that I brought it out this year.
We're getting bogged down. The Hornets beat the Dallas Mavericks twice over the weekend. The improbable became suddenly probable. It was an amazing weekend of Hornets basketball. I'm not sure how many people watched because of college basketball, but I watched and it was beautiful.
No, so with the Charlotte Hornets winning two, the real question is with the Big Dub hat thing, do I need to bring on something? Because they gave away bucket hats, Doug. And the Charlotte Hornets, they were both in turn getting buckets and stopping Dallas from getting buckets as this team continues to sport the best defense post All-Star break. Yes. Your Charlotte
bucket hat,
understeed.
Bucket hat.
Let me get it.
But
baby.
This is, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if the Big Dub hat could even like encompass how many storylines were in this game. Oh, yeah. Yes, the bucket hat. Look at that.
The
thing.
Bucket hat, baby.
It's beautiful.
Oh yeah, it's a beautiful thing. I don't make it.
Watch
as
on YouTube if you're listening to this right now. You gotta see his bucket hat.
Do you pop it up? Do we pop it? No, I think we're just gonna do this right here. Just
have what is bucket. The bucket hat etiquette? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know how to handle any of these victories that the Charlotte Hornets had.
Oh my gosh.
Let's spend this segment trying to find a place to start, Doug, because it's pretty hard. There's a lot of storylines. So here's what we have, right? You have conducted a list. You have constructed a list of things to talk about throughout this show, maybe throughout the week, because we won't be able to get to these bullet points. Everybody had their role, right? We got to see something from really every player. The Hornets are calling on everyone because there's still no Terry Rozier, no Kelly. You have different injuries in different regards. And then that means Bouknight, Maladone, Kai Jones getting minutes. So there's so many things to discuss. So let's go down the list here of some of the topics that are worth noting. Mark Williams, he was experiencing an injury, but he actually comes back. And he has a big impact on the boards. He was playing physical. He was playing well in these last couple games. So big shout to Mark Williams. Okay. James Bouknight, just mentioned him. So one game he played, but like a minute. And then the next game he played and actually contributed a little bit more on back-to-back possessions. We'll get to that in a second. Dennis Smith Jr. played like a crazy person where you got to see him even come up with a clutch shot at the end of the first game against his former team. And so right there, we're already off and rolling. Like already we have some really nice things to look at.
Did you see the quote from DSJ after that second win against Dallas at home?
I sure did. He was excited. He was excited the second game.
I think they asked him like, hey, what did you tell the team? I don't know if they asked him like before the first game at Dallas or whatever, but they were essentially asking him, hey, what were you telling the team before this game against Dallas in Charlotte. And DSJ said, I basically told them, put their bleep in the dirt.
I love it. Dennis Smith Jr. is not here to play any games, and he was not this weekend.
Not against Dallas.
Gordon Hayward and PJ Washington, they are the ones that are the kind of driving force. Like, if you're looking for a foundation of things to build off of, right, without some of the players that can score for you like Terry and Kelly, PJ and Gordon really manned those responsibilities. So that was awesome. Can we just talk about, too, how when you check the NBA standings in the Western Conference, after two straight losses to the Hornets, Doug, you will no longer see the Dallas Mavericks in the postseason, nor will you see them in the play-in tournament.
Spoiler alert! Charlotte Hornets. Spoiler
disaster. Alert. I mean, it's bad over there with the Dallas after trading for Kyrie Irving. Let's continue to go down the list. JT Thor starting to more improve a little bit. You know, defensively.
Oh, more than a little bit, my friend. Let me tell you. JT Thor is a player, okay? I mean, he changed the game in the third quarter of that second game against Dallas in Charlotte. He changed the game in the third quarter with back-to-back threes, along with Bryce McGowan's dropping back-to-back threes. These baby bees weren't playing around. That game, all the momentum was going to Dallas in that third quarter because Luka was starting to heat up, because Kyrie was starting to heat up. It looked like, all right, the Hornets, you know, they had a great first half. It looked like they were going to challenge the Mavericks, but the Mavericks seemed like they were about to put their foot on the gas and finally get serious, you know, because their play-in chances were on the line. And then JT Thor stepped up big time to hit big shots. He's not getting a little better. He's getting a lot better.
Well, more so offensively is where you're seeing that, because defensively we've always felt pretty good about him. It's what has allowed him to have any kind of pulse under Steve Clifford. But offensively, he goes 5 of 8 from the three-point line over the weekend. So, yeah, big stuff from JT
Thor. The Thorner three is... Mm-hmm. Is like, I mean, it's automatic at this point. I wouldn't be saying that several weeks ago. I was cringing when JT Thor was catching the basketball and about to shoot. Now I'm getting excited.
All right, Doug, you finish us off here with the last three bullet points, just trying to figure out what to talk about, because you had something on Bryce McGowan's and also another thing on Dennis Smith Jr. / Teo Maledon. You finish us off.
Well, look, I mean, this is not going to be a surprise to anyone that listens or watches this show regularly, because I've been calling for this for the past several weeks. But not starting Dennis Smith Jr. and not calling up Teo Maledon when they obviously had a need for playmaking, for ball handling, for ball security, a point guard, really. They just needed a point guard, and they didn't start DSJ. They decided to go with the Rozier Oubre backcourt. I think that after these two games, it's undeniable that was sneak tanking. And you'll never convince me otherwise. And you know what? Kudos to the Hornets. They found a way to tank in a way that Adam Silver wasn't. You're not going to punish the Hornets for playing their best five players. But their best five players, none of them were a point guard. And so, you know, because of that, it really, I think, hurt their ability to actually win basketball games. And again, I sit here, I understand that is not necessarily, nor should it be, the ultimate goal for a team, you know, that really has no, that had no shot, were mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. I understand all of that. But they obviously, if they were legitimately serious about winning basketball games, they would have started DSJ. They would have called up Teo, because you can see the difference that it makes when you actually play with an NBA level point guard.
No, it matters, especially when we saw this summer league. It's not like they haven't experienced these problems before. Remember going to summer league and it's like, mm-hmm, Nobody can play because nobody can put the players you want to evaluate in the position for them, mm-hmm, to be successful. And so they, maybe we can just copy and paste that here and then maybe lose, except it didn't happen. Not against the Dallas Mavericks. Go ahead, finish this off.
Well, we gave Svi Mykhailiuk a nickname in the last show, S-U-Svi, because we were doing that ad. Look, he was a pleasure to drive. He wasn't always shooting the best. I think in that second game, he had the shooting struggles. But in the first game, he knocked down some big shots. And then just overall, his veteran presence has really been outstanding these past two games. And even though he didn't shoot well in that second game, he had three assists in the fourth quarter. He was making plays for other guys. He was playing solid defense. Love what I saw out of Sfi Mykhailiuk, who got a start in both of these games because they were missing Terry Rozier and Kelly Oubre. And then finally, I end on a little bit of a down note. There was like one player I thought of all the players that I felt a little bit disappointed with at the end of this, and that was Kai Jones. And that's despite the fact that in that second game, they decided to DNP Nick Richards. They started Mark Williams. Mark Williams came off the bench in the first game, started the second game, recovering from that thumb injury. And they decided to give Kai Jones an extended look there at the backup center position. And I just feel like, you know, the foul issues and the turnover issues are just a real problem for him. And I think this is going to be a critical summer for the for his future in Charlotte and possibly his future in the NBA.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, Kai Jones didn't play in the first game, got the DNP that you're talking about. And then in the second game, finished with 2 points and one rebound, but finished with two turnovers and three fouls in 15 minutes. So Kai Jones.
Where should we start? Where do fans want us to start, do you think?
Well, if the fans represent any part of the YouTube comment section during the live shows, that means we need to start James Book Night. And we'll have to do that on the other side of the break. So if the fans are telling us what to do, we'll just go back to the live show comment section. Let's do that. Coming up next on Locked On Hornets. Look, we didn't think he was going to get a shot. And then Terry Rozier, Kelly Oubre, they go down. James Book Knight gets called up, and he plays the last two games for the Charlotte Hornets in victories, no less. We'll detail his game in just a moment. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. You can pick 2 to 6 players on the fantasy app that is so much fun to play. And if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. And they offer projections on really any sport you watch. That includes the NBA, men's and women's college basketball, if you want to get in on the action for the Final Four, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, disc golf, Euro basketball, so many other sports that you can get in on the action. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Plus, you have safe and fast withdrawals, and they're currently operational in over 30 states and even in Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com. Sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, they give you $100. If you deposit $50, they give you $50. You get the idea by now. Don't forget to enter promo code LOCKEDON and sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. More after this. Locked On Hornets.
Is Locked On Hornets.
Adam Silver had Ahmad Rashad up on stage, and he used his phone to like body scan Ahmad Rashad, and then they like inserted a digital version of Ahmad Rashad into the highlight. And wow. So I'm looking at this and going, just fix my league pass. I don't want to be in a highlight. I would just like to actually watch the highlight without my application logging me out, freezing, dropping all of the time. Fix my league pass before you insert me in the game, please and thank you.
It's time for more of the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Let's start with James Book Night, Doug. Couple possessions in a row, giving you the buckets. One of the reasons I'm wearing the bucket hat and you're wearing the Big Dub hat. I want to start with Dennis Smith Jr. just before we kind of dissect his game a little bit, because DSJ, he talked about James Book Night after the game. And he discussed just how big it was that he contributed to that win, that hopefully this is going to be able to give him some confidence, the special ability that he has. He was talking about how he doesn't know if NBA fans understand just how talented Book is. I mean, I would differ with that. I do think we know how talented he is. We all want to see it come together here in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. But it was nice to see, especially on the layup. So after he hits the three, where he steps into the shot confidently off of the pass from the corner. Awesome. And then the next possession, right? The fast break opportunity where he finishes in traffic, kind of a double pump, really tough play, to be honest with you. It was impressive for him to hit that. I just thought, nice outing. Like if we are having conversations about, does it matter if Book Knight gets any run towards the end of the season, it's comments like that from veterans that you might look up to. And it's also plays like that in just 10 minutes worth of time, not going out there too much for you to completely be a disaster, but you give a couple of nice plays. Huge game the second go around for James Bouknight.
Absolutely. And that play you were talking about, that layup, comes off a miss, off a Mavericks miss, and Gordon Hayward trusting Bouknight enough to let him take it up the floor in transition. So that tells you right there. And that trust, I think, came from several good plays that preceded that play. That said, all right, Book's settling in here. Let's give this young guy a chance. So props to Hayward for trusting Bouknight in that moment. But let's take this two steps back. You know, we're only here with Bouknight getting any minutes because Terry Rozier goes out with a foot discomfort. He's still out. And Oubre has the shoulder issue. So the Hornets essentially really are down to zero guards that they can really depend on. And so you call up Bouknight, you call up Maladone. Okay, so, well, you know, I honestly think that the YouTube commenters for this show were like conjuring dark magic to make this happen. So shame on you for doing that, YouTube commenters. But you got what you want, which is more Bouknight minutes.
I do not want to make you guys angry anymore, please.
No, you have special powers and I'm scared of you. But that first game that Bouknight played, I mean, you skipped right ahead to the good stuff. But we have to talk about what happened in that first game, which is that he checks in at the 8-minute mark of the second quarter and immediately got scored on. Like, immediately. It was a pick and roll up top. Luka was handling the ball. Mark and Hayward both commit to Luka because that was the plan. We're going to double Luka on the pick and rolls. We're going to double Kyrie on the pick and rolls. And Dwight Powell rolls off of that. And Bouknight is the help defender in that situation, weak side. And Book just stands there. Just stands there and lets it happen. Just no awareness, no recognition of, hey, I've got to step over here and check Powell to make sure that he doesn't get a complete free run to the rim. Powell gets an easy dunk on the alley-oop, okay? And then your PJ probably is responsible for the turnover that's next, but it goes out of Bouknight's hands. He's unable to secure the ball. But then the very next defensive possession, Bouknight does the same thing for a second straight time. He was late or ineffective on that weak side help, and it led to a Powell alley-oop. And then that was it. A minute later, minute 23 to be exact, Clifford pulls him out of the game, and we never see Bouknight again. And I think it was directly because of those two defensive mistakes. But then he gets another opportunity in this second game, and he leaned on his defense to get his offense started. Did start with that weird step-back contested three that fell short, and I thought, boy, are we in for a second straight bad Bouknight game after that step-back three, because it looked bad. But then he started with his defense, got a good defensive rebound, and then D'd up Kyrie, got a catch-and-shoot three that he splashed down. That's a much better three. During that first three that fell short, Dell was literally talking about, while Bouknight took that three — I'm having a real problem, by the way, keeping this big dub hat on with my headphones — Dell was talking about,
you don't have as much practice this year as you did.
I know. I haven't been able to get used to it. It still fits, though. But Dell was talking about, during that shot, Walker, he was talking about how Book doesn't need to force his offense, and he forced his offense. But then later, he settled in, splashes the catch and shoot three, and then it was all good from there. So, yeah, I mean, he gets 10 minutes, 10 and a half minutes in this game, and it seems like Clifford is willing to give him more, at least from the comments in the post game.
Well, and the other thing before I move on to a separate Bouknight point is the transition opportunity was kind of because of his decision to make it transition, right? Where he felt like the Dallas Mavericks defense was scrambling. So Gordon sees him, he's got the open space, and Dallas is being lazy, getting back on defense. Dallas's defense also allowed that to be transition because it was so putrid. Yeah, it was a disaster. But Bouknight made him pay and finished strong at the rim. Now, as far as the opportunity for him to get minutes, I mean, Doug, you are talking about having to go way down the list for Bouknight to get this opportunity. Now, it's nothing new. You just talked about it with Terry Rozier and Kelly Oubre. But, Doug, even Maladone is getting more minutes in the backcourt than James Bouknight, who we also have not seen a lot from at all post the first month where we all in love with him. And you were singing Teo. Can you sing it one more time for me?
Teo, gotta let go. He was great. I mean, it wasn't great. He was good. He was serviceable.
No,
they play well. They play well when Maladona is on the floor. And that's what Clifford wants to see from Book Knight. When Book Knight is on the floor, not necessarily because of Book Knight that they play better, but do they play better when Book Knight is on the floor? That means two things: that he's making the right play, not just for himself, but for others. And he's not making plays that actively hurt the team. That's what we saw in that first stretch earlier in the season, when we got a good look at Book Knight and he was getting 25 plus minutes, is that he was trying to force everything, making plays for himself. Those shots were not going down, and he was turning the basketball over, and he was displaying some of that same defense that we saw against Dwight Powell.
Well, but that's my point, even, right? So Teo is still getting minutes. So James Book Knight got 1 minute, bounced after bad defensive mistakes in the first game, got 10 minutes in the second game. If you go to who got more than him in the backcourt each of those last two contests, Bryce McGowan's continues to and has all year long. Teo Maladone just did this weekend. You're still talking about Dennis Smith Jr., who either starts when he's supposed to or the sneak take thing, but still Dennis Smith Jr. ahead of him on the depth chart, deservedly so. So you're still talking about Book Knight after the Kelly Oubre injury, after the Terry Rozier injury. It's still a long way to go for him to get in the good graces and stay there consistently for Steve Clifford. I don't think I'm shedding any light on that. We all know that, oh, okay, just a 10-minute stretch, that's enough for Book Knight to enter the rotation next year. But because it is so few and far between that we see these nice flashes on an NBA court, I think that's why we're giving it its day when you have those back-to-back possessions that lead to really his own only made field goals over the weekend.
Well, yeah, because look, I don't think that I would rather see the Hornets move forward with DSJ than Teo. Okay, so I mean, I like DSJ a lot better than Teo Maladon. I like Teo Maladon as like somebody they can keep around for that, you know, third point guard kind of depth. That would be amazing. So I don't see Teo and Book Knight necessarily competing for the same kinds of minutes next season. I really think this is a situation where the Hornets have to decide: does Book Knight represent an opportunity to move on? You know, maybe from a Kelly Oubre of not having to make that signing. Do we want to go with the future, or do we want to go with someone who is being productive right now? And because I don't know if you want Book Knight handling the ball a ton. I think you would much rather have him do those transition opportunities, but also then be distributed to from another point guard, from LaMelo Ball, from someone else, from DSJ. And so can he be a threat off the bench? And again, that's all about, can he put together multiple possessions where he's helping himself along with helping others and not actively hurting the team? And I think they're going to give him more minutes moving forward over these next six games, and he has an opportunity. And Clifford made a good point. For not only Book Knight, but a lot of these young players who had a great weekend. I mean, there are not many young players that you can look at and say, wow, they really hurt their opportunity this weekend. For all of these players, these six games are really about catapulting yourself into this summer, and so that you can feel good about yourself, motivate yourself during this summer, so that you can come into camp and preseason with that solid mentality, and all of a sudden now you're ready to actually go and steal some minutes from somebody else.
Well, now it's Bryce McGowan's that is the one that you're wondering, can McGowan's have some competition there with the first round pick, especially if Steve Clifford is back, right? If Steve's not, then you have the whole wild card of whatever coach, what he thinks of each of these players. But what Steve has done, It's been good, man. Like, especially with the defense, what we've seen from the Charlotte Hornets team, getting these guys to buy in, that matters a lot. Maybe we can get to that a little bit later on in the week. But we still have a lot more topics to get to that we won't end up finishing today. So that will last us through the week as well. But coming up next on the Locked On Hornets podcast. I kind of want to check in on the NBA standings and just see how much the Charlotte Hornets have screwed everything up.
Oh, boy.
That's what I want to do coming up next in the last segment. This episode is brought to you by Built Bar, the Built March Madness Bracket. It's here. We know you have a favorite Built Bar or Built Puff, and now is your time to make it count. Go to BuiltMarchMadness.com to vote for your favorites. And when you vote for your favorite bar or your favorite puff, you will be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built Bars. Not only that, but I, a Locked On member, would like to win this 12-month subscription. I guess you might want to win the 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. You gotta try Built. Built has the best protein bar ever. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They're low in calories. They're low in sugar. They're high in protein. They're high in fiber. It's fantastic stuff. Run to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick. Only a few days left to do so. One more segment to go, coming up next.
This is Locked On Hornets.
Now that we have this question, I feel like I need to ask this. Mm-hmm. Are y'all sweet potato pie folks or you pumpkin pie folks?
Pumpkin pie folks.
Sweet potato folk.
Pumpkin pie.
Sweet potato.
It's time for more of the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Doug, I can't wait for the latest Zach Lowe podcast to be released. And they discuss just how much in turmoil the Dallas Mavericks are. And you know how Zach will get on these rants and they're funny and they're well-informed. He's going to say, the Hornets? The Charlotte Hornets? You lost to them two straight times? The suddenly competent Charlotte Hornets?
Spoiler
alert.
It's going
to be phenomenal. The Dallas Mavericks 0-2. The two games that they've played. Can we talk just real quickly? Weird history. With the Dallas Mavericks, do the Charlotte Hornets have? Like, if you go back, do you remember when they were coming up with the easiest games to win? It was Baxter Holmes who I think kind of created this idea of looking ahead and just like, okay, no day's rest, West Coast road trip, yada, yada, whatever. And that's why you could have a scheduled loss, so to speak. He was the one that kind of came up with that notion. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, I believe, it was the Charlotte Hornets who had a game against Dallas. And it was deemed the easiest game to win that year. And the Charlotte Hornets found a way to lose to the Dallas Mavericks, given, you know, rest discrepancy and whatever. We've had some comeback games where Dallas, I believe, came back on the Hornets, if I'm not mistaken. But anyways, now Charlotte, at least they balanced the scales here a little bit, winning these last two games. Doug, Dallas is out of the play-in tournament right now. I mean, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. So this should have been an opportunity for the Mavericks to gain some ground to try to get into the play-in tournament where you desperately want to do so, especially trading for Kyrie Irving, especially because of that. And now we don't even know if Dallas is actually going to get into the play-in. And it's not like you could, okay, well, as long as Luka goes for 40, guess what? He did in the second game.
Almost
and
they triple still double. Lost.
Yikes, man. Like this, this is the thing you play for if you're out of the playoff picture.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's what makes these two wins so impressive is that it wasn't against a team that was out of it. It wasn't against a team that was so fully in it that they didn't have anything left to play for. I mean, this is the kind of team that you would expect to get their absolute best punch. And the Hornets were able to come up with two wins. In terms of what this means for the Charlotte Hornets, I mean, it's a culmination of buy-in that Clifford has been able to get, especially from the young players, in terms of defensive mentality, staying together and playing intense defense from quarter one to quarter four. You know, I think they got a lot of shot making that has really been rare this season in the first quarter in both of these games. And Clifford made sure to mention, like, hey, it's a lot easier to play from ahead, which they haven't been able to do a lot this season. So there may be a little bit of luck that you can sprinkle in there. My big question, though, out of these two games is, will all of this carry over, you know, I'm sure the Hornets are hoping that it carries over into the summer. But, like, I'm not sure that you can really make any judgments about what this team is because they are missing so many players. Like, do they show the same kind of fight, defensive mentality, ability to knock down shots in the clutch, which they did in both of these games, fourth quarter shots everywhere. Thank you, Gordon Hayward. Are they able to do all of that when you get LaMelo Ball back, when you get Terry Rozier and Oubre and all of this? Like, I thought that they really benefited. This was sort of the perfect storm in that you got to inject all of this youthful energy because, just like I said, Dallas should have been playing with that urgency. Hey, we need to make the play-in. The Hornets had a bunch of players like Book Knight, like Thor, like McGowan's, like Kai Jones, that were all playing for their NBA lives, and it showed on the court.
Well, and so if you just want to talk about why it matters, if that is the theme of the last segment, it matters just to build good practice for next season. And again, I know that's kind of, you know, just some analysis that it's not exactly groundbreaking. But, Doug, this is a defense – that has been atrocious, especially in transition, for quite some time. And Nekias Duncan, who just released an awesome video kind of breaking down the Charlotte Hornets defense, and he's been championing the idea like, hey, everybody, pay attention. This is a defense that has greatly improved. They are very different from what they used to be, especially in transition. They're getting back. And if you saw, did you see the Kirk Goldsberry graphic that was circulating in the last few days? So it's offensive efficiency, defensive efficiency. The offensive efficiency
is bad.
The Hornets are literally not
it's
on
off
the,
charts, but in the worst way.
Yes, that is correct. They are so far to the left. Right is good, left is bad. They are so far to the left that Goldsberry in this graphic did not zoom out large enough so you could see the Charlotte Hornets logo. So I can tell you exactly.
Come on, Goldsberry, come on.
Just zoom out, man. That's all we're asking for. But what you do see is that the defense in the last 15 games, as of March 24th, last 15 games given that date, it was third in the league, behind a team like the Milwaukee Bucks and behind actually the LA Lakers. And now if you put these two games against Dallas, who can score? I mean, it's not the offense. It's been the problem for them, at least when they acquired Kyrie. It's the defense for them. And now the Hornets are still just continuing to climb defensively.
And the question is, what's changed? And I would point to a couple of things. They're not getting blown by as much. So you're not getting into that second level of the defense quite as often. And that's a testament to what DSJ has done. That's a testament to Thor locking up some plays. Gordon Hayward has been a big part of that. You saw Book Knight. Again, this is crazy. He D'd up Kyrie and did not let Kyrie blow by him. Like, that's, you know, that's impressive. Okay, it's one possession. Now he's got to do it a couple more times and be consistent about it. But that is showing you, hey, there are signs of life there. So that would be one thing. Getting back into transition. I mean, you saw it, I think, multiple times in those games against Dallas, and you've seen it over the past couple of weeks. This team is not allowing as many easy buckets. A lot of that, too, is good offense, or at least safe offense. Now, it hasn't been good offense because they haven't been able to score a ton. But they haven't also, with the exception of a few games, they haven't really been a massive turnover team, and so they haven't had to play in transition as much. The final thing that I would point to is something that DSJ has pointed to. This is a team defensively that right now is paying attention to the game plan and actually executing it. You have not seen this team really complain about the game plan that Steve Clifford has put out really all season. It's really been about their ability to execute that. And what does that mean? That means doubling Luka when you're supposed to double Luka. That means doubling Kyrie, committing to that, committing to switching. You know, you can hear, especially in the games where there aren't a lot of fans, you can hear Clifford screaming, hey, switch that, switch that, switch that, blitz that, blitz that, blitz that. It's really up to the player to commit to that, to say, I remember that, yes, on this type of pick and roll play, we're going to blitz that. But if I see this, I'm not supposed to blitz it. So it's a little bit of intelligence of like saying, hey, I remember that from what we ran through in the ballroom. But it's also commitment to saying, oh, yeah, I am going to switch this. Even if I have to run a little bit more, even if it puts me in a bad matchup, I am going to switch this because that's the game plan.
It's a nice change of pace. Doug, we can go back to the beginning of the season where things started to go very poorly, right? Like, not remember they started, what, 3-3 this year? Is that right? Mm-hmm. I think it was something kind of crazy. And then they started to lose all of the games afterwards. So if you look at what the Hornets did as they were losing, Terry Rozier, a couple of different players would go to the podium and tell you that it's all about us buying into Steve Clifford's system. They said that a lot, how it's, we like the game plan, we're just not buying in. And now they are. They've won three of the last four. They've had some awful games there as well. Offensively, they're still not phenomenal by any means. It's going to happen when you don't have Kelly, when you don't have Terry to kind of bail you out. But Dennis Smith Jr., if you put him in the lineup, you're going to be better defensively. That's just a fact. If you put together, you know, PJ Washington, you've been one to point out just how much Gordon Hayward actually matters to this defense, which, you know, just as far as the team overall dynamic goes, and that's something maybe people aren't paying attention to. So now, okay, wait, you're telling me that 60% of the players out there, Mark Williams, okay, now 80% of the players out there are good defenders at any given time? JT Thor, okay, so now you're subbing and you're not losing? Like, quite the identity change compared to what we've had, especially with these guys now buying in as players get more playing time down the stretch. Last thing I'll say, as we were discussing the Western Conference playoffs just getting mucked up quite a bit, what's great is the Dallas Mavericks are the 11th seed. Oklahoma City is the 10th seed. So do we taketh away and then giveth to Dallas after hopefully they can taketh away the OKC win and go on a 3-game winning streak? And just so you know, only 6 games left. They're behind the Magic 8 games. They're behind the Lakers, who are the 2 teams you should be paying attention to. They could go undefeated the rest of the way, and you're still picking where you should be. They're so far ahead of Detroit. So it's all gravy, baby. Like, let's just keep winning. Who cares? I'm ready for it.
Two other. I'm totally with you. Let's spoiler alert. Let's continue to just really muck up the Western Conference. That would be a hilarious storyline, that the Charlotte Hornets come out of nowhere and affect the NBA in a pretty substantial way. With everyone clowning them for being so irrelevant. So that would be fun. But I don't think this is going to hurt their ability. I think they're going to stay with the fourth best odds. This is not really going to change any of those calculations.
And I said Lakers. I meant Blazers, by the way, just how the Blazers, like, yes, it's the Blazers, but still, point proves.
Two more things on the defense. We have to mention Mark Williams, his ability to change the calculus defensively, guards moving into the paint and deciding, nah, I better not. But really, defensive rebounding, his physicality is just so much better than it was in the preseason. I mean, he has changed his mentality when it comes to, all right, I'm going to get in here and muck it up. And I love it. I love to see that from him. He had so many great defensive rebounds and offensive rebounds too, in that, especially in that second game when he got the start. So love what Mark Williams gives this team defensively as well. And then the other thing, and I think this is a big question that they've got to figure out, is, like you mentioned early in the season, they established a way to play defensively. That was without LaMelo Ball. When LaMelo Ball came back, they got much better offensively, but really couldn't maintain that sense of identity defensively. And then he leaves again, and then you can see a stretch of games where, hey, they're holding teams to under 100 points. They find a way to play defensively again, and then they lose that when LaMelo comes back. So that's the thing that and I don't think they've been able to solve it, because they haven't had all of their players together at once, even going back to the preseason, right? I mean, you lose LaMelo in the preseason. They had a bunch of injuries in the preseason to PJ and Cody Martin. And so they've never really been able to have a full squad for a full summer and preseason and camp to say, all right, this is how we can both be dynamic offensively, but also establish an identity defensively. That will be the big challenge for Steve Clifford moving forward.
Absolutely. You mentioned Mark Williams. We can talk about him tomorrow to lead off the show, because that's something else I think most people would want to hear from. James Bouknight 2 years ago, a first round pick, then Mark Williams last year, your first round pick, who has been playing very well, especially since he came back with that injury. We got to see him play in an awesome way the last 2 games. That'll do it for your first listen today, us being the Locked On Hornets podcast. Now make your second listen Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the league with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game online. Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your pods. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day.